Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Differentiated Workforce, Transforming Talent into Strategic Impact by Brian E. Becker, Mark A. Huslid, and Richard W. Beatty. Narrated by Rudy Sanda. Publisher's Note: This audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material. All figures, tables, graphs, and illustrations referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Foreword. Cash is an important asset. Even in hard times, especially in hard times, organizations endeavor mightily to keep the business going without impairing their capital, except as a last resort. People are also an important asset. How many times have you heard some senior executive make the claim that our people are our most important asset? Yet at the first hint of approaching trouble, many organizations' initial reaction is to systematically impair the value of their labor force. For example, despite the self-evident logic of Jack Welch's observation that in tough times you need training more, not less, the training budget is often the first casualty of any downturn. Another frequent victim of hard times is the compensation strategy. Most firms seek to practice some version of pay for performance, and often spend considerable time and money trying to identify and attract the best people, measure and provide feedback about performance, and give superior financial and non-financial rewards to the best performers. When times get tough, however, many organizations abandon whatever pay for performance practices are in place in favor of across-the-board budget cuts, hiring freezes, and salary increases that do not differentiate on the basis of performance. At the other extreme, there are a relative handful of organizations that, sometimes of their own volition, but more often because of union or civil service requirements, are ready to live and, if necessary, die for the sake of putting people, or at least people with seniority, first. Unfortunately, though their intentions may be noble, the inability of these organizations to adapt their strategies to changing conditions is inevitably harmful to both the organization and its people. By far the best approach, as this book persuasively argues, is to devise a flexible workforce strategy that is linked to an organization's strategic capabilities, thus rendering it useful for strategy execution. Because it is so responsive to changing circumstances, the workforce strategy can then serve to direct resources to people, jobs, and economic opportunities in a way that maximizes value to both the organization and its members. The authors make the important point that workforce differentiation is not achieved merely by doing HR in an unusual way, though they do offer the reader many useful tips in this regard. Among the book's principal contributions is its description of a four-stage framework, backed by many practical examples, of how to devise a workforce strategy for any organization that is in good alignment with the talent requirements of its overall strategy. Another important contribution of the differentiated workforce lies in its ability to clarify and simplify the essential ingredients of strategy and the role of strategy in informing organization practice. In some ways, the book reminds me of what we sought to do at Crotonville while I was at GE. By the time I left the company, we had, on average, 4 requests per workday from organizations seeking to visit, benchmark, or study Crotonville. I recall greeting visiting executives, including CEOs and management committee members of major corporations, by telling them, "My task this morning is to unimpress you, and I feel confident that I will be successful." You're not going to find out today that we have secret schools from which we recruit, or management theories you've never heard about. In GE, all we do are the basics, but we do them well, and, most important, we make sure that all our organizational practices are connected to each other and to our strategies. Our goal at GE was not to overly complicate things, but rather, as Jack Welch was fond of saying, to have the courage to be simple. What Becker, Huslid, and Beatty have done is to take a potentially dense subject and make it clear and comprehensible. To cite just one example, firms need to move away from conventional approaches to determining job importance and job worth, and toward a model where job value is determined by the strategic capabilities needed to execute strategy. They then need to invest disproportionately in their most strategic positions, ensuring that they place A players in A positions for A customers. They go on to explain, in plain language and without suggesting that the reader spend money he or she probably doesn't have, how this can be done. However, we all know that it takes more than courage to make complicated things seem simple, so permit me to make one final observation. No small part of the appeal of the differentiated workforce is that its authors bring to their work an unusual blend of academic rigor and practical advice. Their own careers have been a highly successful blend of research-based articles in the best journals, publications that have significantly contributed to the practice of management, and consultancy to some of the world's most important and interesting corporations. This combination of insight and experience stands the authors in very good stead, and their book significantly benefits from what they have learned along the way. Steve Kerr, Senior Advisor, Goldman Sachs. Preface. This book is about the central role that workforce strategy plays in the successful execution of your organization's strategy. In our experience, most firms don't really have a workforce strategy. They have talent initiatives and broad expressions that people are their most important asset, and they can usually point to programs that reflect their investments in people. What's missing is the kind of focus, what we call workforce differentiation, in these efforts that results in clear and demonstrable strategic impact. To put it bluntly, the problem is that most of these initiatives begin with people rather than with strategy. This book puts strategy first, using your workforce strategy to drive your organizational strategy. Putting strategy first means making choices that recognize that jobs and roles can differ dramatically in the extent to which they contribute strategically, and that the workforce needs to be managed accordingly. Differentiation is not just a feature of a successful workforce strategy, it is the most important feature. It requires that you understand where you invest, what jobs you focus on, who is held accountable for workforce success, and how success is measured. This means that developing and executing a workforce strategy is both a business decision and an HR decision. As such, the ideas in this book are equally important for line managers and HR professionals. The approach to workforce strategy described here is practical, research-based, and above all, will deliver results. As academics, our research focuses on the relationships among HR, workforce issues, and firm performance. Our research has appeared in the leading academic journals and continues to be some of the most heavily cited work in the field of management. But just as important, we have tested and revised these ideas as part of our consulting and executive education activities. In short, they are taxi-tested. For more than 20 years, we have tried to transform the way academics and managers think about human resources and workforce management. Our view is that HR, the function and the practice, should have a more significant impact on the fortunes of the organization. HR as a function should be more than an administrative cost center, and HR as a practice should be more than a collection of functional techniques. When we think of HR transformation, we think of a broader role, not just a different role. While traditional roles requiring transactional efficiency, policy compliance, employee relations, and program management skills continue to have value, HR transformation means only one thing to us. The HR function, line managers, and some portion of an organization's HR professionals will be jointly responsible for strategy execution. Measured in terms of the potential impact on firm success, this is, without doubt, the most important HR role in the 21st century. There are a lot of books, consulting practices, and even academics who use strategic, HR, and workforce in the same sentence. Too often, this reminds us of what we like to call HR alchemy. Traditional operational and administrative activities are simply given a strategic patina. By contrast, our approach is a fundamentally different way to think about the role of HR in your organization and, more broadly, the role of the workforce. As a result, the transformation is not limited to HR professionals, it includes line managers as well. To be successful, a strategic role for HR requires a responsibility for workforce strategy that is shared with line managers. Chapter 1. Put strategy, not people, first. Senior managers and readers of the popular business press are probably familiar with the mantra that people are the new source of competitive advantage. Many of these same managers can also offer a compelling rationale for the importance of winning the war for talent, as long as the elevator ride is a short one. But despite all the talk about a new strategic emphasis on the workforce, most companies haven't yet capitalized on the opportunity for strategic success that effective workforce management can provide. Significant investments in attempting to win the war for talent in many organizations and new leadership development programs or an emphasis on becoming an employer of choice often have the look and feel of a strategic workforce initiative. They certainly emphasize the people aspect of the organization and focus on large segments of the workforce or, in the case of leadership initiatives, the traditionally high-value segments. Often, a parallel effort demonstrates the financial contribution of these people initiatives. However, in our view, it is those very characteristics of breadth and generality that limit the value of workforce strategy for many organizations. While a focus on people issues often reflects a new, different emphasis for managers, what it doesn't necessarily represent is a fundamental change in perspective on the role of workforce strategy. New leadership initiatives, a focus on attracting top talent, or a demonstration of the financial contribution of HR initiatives may all be good business practices and improve operational excellence, but they don't necessarily contribute to strategic success. These initiatives are seldom based on a clear line of sight between workforce success and strategic success. The irony is that building competitive advantage requires the right workforce strategy. But that doesn't mean simply putting people first. It means putting strategy first and developing a workforce that executes that strategy. Putting strategy first means that the message of this book is as important for senior line managers as for HR professionals. This book is about solving the strategic challenges facing senior line management. Specifically, it is about making senior managers more successful at executing their strategy. For most organizations, that success has an important talent dimension. When it comes to workforce strategy, our approach requires that line managers define success, but that HR professionals deliver the solution. This requires a new perspective on workforce strategy for both. Based on our nearly two decades of academic research and hundreds of consulting engagements and executive education classes, we are persuaded that most organizations, whether profit or nonprofit, lack a truly strategic workforce strategy. This book provides both the rationale and the developmental roadmap that any organization can use to create a workforce strategy, with an emphasis on the word strategy. The results will be apparent for both senior line managers and HR professionals, and, most important, on the bottom line. The outcomes include: strategy execution will improve, and with it, the likelihood of strategic success. Senior managers will follow strategic workforce issues as closely as they follow financial issues. Line managers and HR professionals will be able to distinguish strategic workforce investments from the latest best practice fads. Workforce investments will be targeted where they create the highest strategic return and will be reduced or eliminated where there is no return. Line managers and HR professionals will not have to figure out how to implement vague slogans such as "People are our most important asset," which will be replaced with a specific, actionable, strategic human capital plan. It will be clear when the HR function is providing administrative efficiency and when it is providing strategy management, because what is strategic and what isn't will be clear. The HR function's contribution to firm performance will be obvious and measurable. the strategic contribution of the workforce will be obvious and measurable. The differentiated workforce. We believe in the need for a fundamental change in the entire approach to workforce strategy. We call this approach a differentiated workforce strategy. Just as any good business strategy involves making the right choices and the right investments, the same is true of a workforce strategy. It involves more than investing on the people side of the enterprise, but involves disproportionate investments where you can expect disproportionate returns. Those specific jobs and those specific people within jobs that help create strategic success. Few companies admit to using the same corporate strategies that worked in the 1950s, but many organizations seem unable to move beyond 1950s workforce strategies. They may be spending more on people, and the jargon may have changed, but few companies approach their workforce strategy with the same standards and discipline as they do their larger organizational strategy. The strategic potential of a workforce strategy to create new wealth has increased dramatically over the past 50 years, but the approach to workforce strategy in most organizations never realizes that potential. As with most strategic decisions, you have to make choices about your workforce. Differentiation is not just a feature of your workforce strategy, it is the most important feature. It will determine where you invest, what jobs you focus on, who is held accountable for workforce success, and how success is measured. Workforce differentiation is important for strategic success because strategy is concerned with creating competitive advantage, doing things that your customers value in new, different ways. Sustainable competitive advantage is the basis for above-average growth and profitability relative to competitors. When competitors can easily copy a competitive advantage, those above-average profits erode more quickly. Not only does workforce differentiation have the potential to create strategic value through improved strategy execution, but it is not easily copied by competitors. Indeed, when fully implemented, the strategic focus is so well aligned with an individual firm's strategy that simple imitation has little value to a competitor. A lesson from Moneyball. Major League Baseball provides a simple illustration of the distinction between a war for talent and a war with talent. Consider the lesson of Moneyball, the bestseller by Michael Lewis. Every Major League Baseball team is playing the same game, but the Oakland A's didn't compete in a war for talent. Instead, the team developed a differentiated workforce strategy. Other teams treated talent like a commodity with equal value to each team. They bid up the price, and the richer teams ended up with more talent. The A's developed an entirely different strategy for winning games, one in which the team could make unique use of players that other clubs didn't value as highly. For most organizations, the strategic return should emphasize the numerator of the ROI equation, the unique economic value of each position, rather than the denominator, the market price of the position. The opportunity is to achieve superior organizational performance with similar workforce expenses. The A's turned strategic advantage upside down, attempting to remain highly competitive while investing much less in its workforce. Most organizations have an advantage the A's don't enjoy. The problem for the A's is that its strategy is relatively transparent, and clubs wishing to do so can copy that strategy, as some have. By contrast, the competitive advantage a typical organization gains from a differentiated workforce strategy is much more sustainable. First, it is not easily copied because, rather than following a best practice, it is as unique as the strategic activities that serve as the basis for differentiation. Second, there is little incentive to copy the workforce strategy since it will have little value to a competitor unless the competitor has a similar system of strategic activities with which to align it. In this case, the only best practice is the differentiation process that is the foundation of the workforce strategy. Simply knowing the results of this process, which is the more common focus of benchmarking activities, has little strategic value to other organizations. Workforce differentiation creates value via the differences in how an organization designs and manages its workforce strategy. But what kinds of differences are important? We aren't talking about variations in specific HR or workforce practices. though they might result from a differentiated strategy. For example, choosing a particular compensation plan, sourcing channel, or development program is not necessarily a strategic decision. The choice and design of particular practices follow from a differentiated workforce strategy. They do not define the strategy. Differentiation is a choice about how tightly your workforce strategy will be aligned with the talent requirements of your enterprise strategy. It can have several facets. It can occur between organizations, within parts of the same organization, and among employees in a single part of one organization. The most effective and powerful workforce strategy is differentiated along each of these facets. How to determine the level of differentiation in your organization is one focus of this book. What is workforce strategy? Effective business strategies differentiate your company in ways that your customers value and your competitors cannot easily copy. But to differentiate on the outside, you also need to differentiate on the inside, and the need to differentiate extends to how you execute your strategy. Harvard strategy guru Michael Porter highlights this internal focus, emphasizing that strategy is about creating a unique set of organizational activities that bring the value proposition to the customer. Those unique activities constitute a firm's strategy execution system, and for many firms, the linchpin of that system should be the workforce strategy. The problem is that while successful strategy execution calls for a unique set of business processes and activities, when it comes to workforce strategy, for most firms, the emphasis is on best practices and Me Too fads. Often, managers are forced to defend departures from industry best practices, even though the business logic for a more differentiated approach to workforce strategy might be compelling. Perhaps it is the modern version of the old adage, "No one ever got fired for buying IBM." However, in a Harvard Business Review article, Eric Bonobo reminds us that the homogenizing nature of best practices can destroy value for corporations, which forget that strategy is, at its heart, all about differentiation. This holds for workforce strategies as well. Like any strategy, a workforce strategy has two essential elements. The first is the strategic goal. The second is a clear statement of how a company will achieve that strategic goal. Getting the systems, initiatives, and practices right from a strategic perspective begins with getting the goals right. Every workforce strategy should answer two simple questions. How does the workforce contribute to the firm's competitive advantage? How should the workforce be managed to realize that value? In other words, both design and execution are critical. What do we mean when we say that a workforce strategy should contribute to the firm's competitive advantage? Along with Robert Kaplan, David Norton, and Larry Bossidy, we focus on execution. Some companies' strategic success depends on having the very best talent. They succeed simply because their workforce is more talented than that of their competitors. But what are the implications of a workforce strategy premised on a war for talent? Presumably, competition for a relatively fixed pool of talent increases as more firms pursue this competitive advantage. This demand will drive up compensation levels until fewer and fewer firms can afford a given level of talent. Ultimately, without growth in talent supply, the strategic gains of winning deteriorate into a winner's curse, where higher compensation levels completely erode the value of the organization's hard-won competitive advantage. More fundamentally, a war for talent strategy violates the most basic tenet of a successful strategy, namely, it is very easy to copy. Clearly, you shouldn't ignore talent when thinking about workforce strategy. But instead of thinking in terms of a war for talent, the emphasis should be on a war with talent. Talent can be a strategic asset, but like any asset, its value depends on the future returns relative to the costs of acquiring and maintaining that asset. Legal compliance, compensation systems influenced by rank and tenure, concerns for internal equity, and natural aversions to providing tough performance evaluations are just some of the pressures that lead to the perpetuation of relatively undifferentiated workforce strategies. This homogenizing influence is further reinforced by the absence of any obvious way to value and measure the success of a workforce strategy. Some firms, understandably, turn toward external comparisons and benchmarks to validate workforce decisions because there seems to be no good alternative. However, while benchmarking might provide accessible performance metrics, there is, by definition, nothing strategic about them. Too many organizations underinvest in high-return, truly strategic talent, and overinvest in non-strategic talent. The workforce strategy is not appropriately differentiated. Strategy involves differentiation and value creation. Benchmarking involves homogenization, me-too comparisons, and cost control. But if the corporate strategy is concerned with differentiation and building unique sources of competitive advantage, does it make sense to manage the most important driver of strategy execution as an undifferentiated commodity? Traditional workforce strategies have a natural logic and the powerful appeal of the status quo, but have little to do with managing the strategic role of talent in the organization. Building competitive advantage means that your strategic talent needs to be differentiated in the same way as those unique set of strategic activities that truly define your strategy. The box, "Signs You're Not Differentiating Enough," gives some indicators for determining if your own company has a largely undifferentiated workforce strategy. Not every organization with such a strategy has all these attributes, but these provide a quick diagnostic. Keep them in mind as we develop the differentiated workforce framework in the subsequent chapters. As you can see, this strategy involves more than the design of specific workforce practices. The symptoms are apparent when senior line managers and HR professionals discuss talent. Signs you're not differentiating enough. Your organization has the wrong strategic perspective on talent. There is no explicit workforce strategy. No one can really explain how your company's workforce strategy contributes to the organization's strategic success. There is no clear line of sight between value of workforce practice and strategic success. The financial conversation with HR largely focuses on controlling its overall budget. HR confuses being a business partner with playing a strategic role. There is talk of HR transformation, but never any time for it. The value of workforce practices is based on how they compare with external best practice standards. Concerns about some employees feeling left out makes it difficult to disproportionately invest in high-value employees. Your organization has the wrong approach to common workforce practices. Poor performance is tolerated, sometimes even in critical roles. Employee performance goals seldom have any obvious relationship to the company's strategy. Annual compensation changes are not all that different for high performers and low performers. Senior line managers are not held accountable for the management of strategic talent. Very little development rotation occurs, or else it is provided as a general development opportunity. Conversations between HR professionals and line managers largely focus on employee relations, costs and budgets, programs, and staffing decisions. When evaluating the financials of a workforce initiative, the focus is largely on the cost. The stages of workforce differentiation. While we believe that optimal strategic alignment and success requires a workforce differentiated along multiple facets, even differentiation on a smaller scale can provide more limited and transitory benefits. Figure 1-1 shows a four-stage framework for thinking about the relationship between differentiation and strategic success. However, we do not intend the notion of stages to represent a journey that begins in stage 1 and culminates in stage 4. The workforce strategy for some organizations might reflect elements from several stages simultaneously. Our purpose in describing these stages of differentiation in detail is to make the choices more explicit than implicit. You will recognize your workforce strategy within the mix of these stages and be able to reflect on whether your current workforce strategy will have the desired strategic impact. This comparison allows us to highlight how the approach in Stage 4, the differentiated workforce strategy, can be viewed against the workforce strategies we commonly find in practice. So in addition to helping you evaluate the value of your current workforce strategy, the four-stage framework will provide a useful point of reference for
sample complete. Ready to continue?